Okay, well, it is exactly 8:30, so good morning, everyone. Good morning, Vince. Nice to have you join us. We're going to go ahead and call this meeting of the TRP Operations and Governance Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. The time is 8:30. First item on the agenda is roll call to determine a quorum. Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mr. Woloshin?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks?
Here.
Mr. Hill, or Ms. Hill, I'm sorry.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. All right. We'll very briefly review the meeting rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, go to www.trpa.gov. Select December 15th, 2021 Governing Board meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in this Operations and Governance Committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRP staff and have 3 minutes to address the Operations and Governance Committee. If you have contacted the TRPA for reasonable accommodations and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure you enter the PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. If you are using GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app, please make sure it is open to the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via the call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Operations and Governance Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone and dial your unique PIN number. To committee members, as usual, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function. If you are online or speak up if you are calling in, please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote board members may only use the chat function to indicate their desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations, and please remember to mute your mic unless speaking in order to cut down on background noise. All right. Next item is approval of the agenda. Chris, any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes to the agenda.
All right, then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. Next item is agenda item number 2, approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from the November 17th, 2021 meeting on page 29 of your packet. Does any member of the committee have any suggested changes, revisions, additions, deletions?
Moved.
All right. And seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Move to approve.
Okay, we have 2 motions. All right, we have a motion to approve. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. Thank you. We'll deem the minutes approved as presented. Moving on to the next item, which is agenda item number 3, which is a recommendation to approve the November financials. The information on this item can be found on page 53 of your packet. Chris?
For the record, Chris Carler, Finance Director for the agency. Can I have the next chart, please? This month is another no news is good news presentation on this subject. As you can see at the bottom line net level here, we are well ahead on the state and local column. That's because we received the state funding at the beginning of the year and spent it down during the course of the year. We're in a strong position on fees. That's largely driven by 2 things. One is current planning remains at a very high level of operations with applications and permitting processing. And the other is the fall season is when we settle up with the boat ramps on the AIS program. So we have half a year of inspections and plus all the final reconciliation of sticker sales. The grants showing a negative, that's normal because we bill almost all of our grants in arrears, so there's always a lag there. I could have the next chart, please. This shows a performance against budget, and we're right where we would want to be at this point. State revenues is obviously at 100% because we got the money up front. Fees are going strong at 44%. On the expenditure side, compensation is right about where we would expect it to be at this point in time. Contracts is always a lag because of just normal payment lags between when they complete the work and when they bill us. Several of our contracts are particularly slow in billing us. The only other one I would call out is the financing line. Our long-term debt has two annual payments, one at the end of November, which we made, and one in late May. The December payment includes both principal and interest. So that's why we've spent two-thirds of the financing budget. And then we'll have an interest-only payment in the spring. Excuse me. If I can go to the next chart, please. This is cash flow. Again, the upfront cash from the state is what drives that huge uptick at the beginning of the year, and then it just runs down towards the end of the year. This is a very typical cash flow for us, as you can see from the comparison to prior years. So there's no real news here. It's just following the pattern. We could have the next chart, please. I've added a couple of charts this month because I think we have a little bit more time. I won't do this chart every month, but maybe a couple times a year just to update you on where we stand in terms of the mitigation funds. So these are the funds that we're holding mostly for the benefit of the local jurisdictions to spend on various projects. So this is broken down both by the jurisdiction the money came from and by the type. Mobility mitigation is pretty new. So right now that's a small number. And I apologize, I apparently failed to take over the total for that, but we've only gotten a little bit of money from the city at this point in time.
Chris, before you leave this slide, there's a little asterisk at the bottom, excludes CTRPA. CTRPA doesn't exist anymore.
We're still holding some money from CTRPA. It's not generally available, so I wanted this chart to be funding that's available for use on various projects.
What is it? Are these security deposits that were collected by CTRPA?
Yeah, and a little bit of mitigation funds. We're trying to clean it up.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Not a significant amount of money, but it's there. If I could have the next chart, please. I know we have some new people on the committee, and we haven't really talked too much about this, but this is just for general education in terms of where our money's come from. The two biggest parts are state funds and grants. The state funds, $5 million from California, $2.1 million from Nevada. Nevada is below the two-third, one-third ratio. We need to pull that up. Generally speaking, the state funds cover most of our general funds. So this is the money that we have degrees of freedom in spending during the course of the year. There is some of it that is restricted. We do get some money from the California Harbors and Watercraft Fund, which is restricted to enforcement of TRPA boating regs. And we do get a little bit of money from the Nevada DMV Air Quality Fund. It can only be used on air quality activities. Grants are actually a little bit larger. Traditionally, transportation grants have been our biggest source of revenue on the grant side, but the hard work that Julie and others have put into getting Lake Tahoe Restoration Act, LTRA through, and things like that have really boosted the amount of money we have to spend on AIS projects. And so AIS is now our leading source of grant revenues. And then on the fee side, current planning and now user fees and AIS and Shoreline are providing the revenue there. And that concludes my presentation, unless anybody has some questions.
Well, thank you, Chris. I had a question under year-to-date revenues and expenses on page 53 of our packet. There's a reference here to reimbursed planning fees. Are those refunded securities? Chris, what are reimbursed planning fees?
Reimbursed planning fees is primarily two categories. I think that what's driving that number right now is the indemnification clause in our permits. So if we're being sued on a project, the applicant has to reimburse us for those legal expenses. It's a similar situation if we have a large project like Boulder Bay with a substantial EIS that's done. So we track those separately just so it doesn't pollute the current planning fund.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the committee regarding the November financials? All right, seeing none, hearing none. We will go ahead and open this item up for public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria, are you taking care of public comment this morning?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Okay.
And we have no public comment for this item.
Okay, then we will go ahead and close public comment, bring this back to the committee. Is there a motion to recommend approval of the November financial statements?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? Seeing none, hearing none. Let's see, we'll just do a, we'll do a roll call. Okay, Maria, could you please take the roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mr. Woloshin?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. All right, that will bring us to item number four, which is a recommendation to adopt the TMPO Title VI Program Plan and Limited English Proficiency Plan. Information on this item can be found on page 167 of your packet. And Kira Smith, are you with us this morning? You're going to be leading this discussion.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, Kira Smith, Transportation Planner with TRPA for the record. Today we are requesting recommendation of approval of the 2021 Title VI Program Plan and Limited English Proficiency Plan. Next slide. So I'm going to try to make this presentation brief, but first I'll quickly talk about the plan requirements, then discuss the contents of the updated plans, and finally discuss the updates we made to the plans this year. So the plans are required under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination based on race, color, or national origin in programs or activities that receive federal funding. And TRPA, acting as the Metropolitan Planning Organization for the Tahoe Region, is a recipient of federal funds and pass-through funds for transit agencies. So we have to adhere to the Title VI requirements, which includes updating these plans every 3 years. And then beyond our requirements to update the plans, they're really all about accessibility and ensuring that our most vulnerable populations have access to information the agency puts out, which has been a priority for both TRPA staff and the board. Next slide. So the Title VI program plan includes information about our Title VI program and the procedures for filing a complaint. We did not receive any Title VI complaints in the last 3 years, which is good news. The plan also details our public participation strategies, includes a demographic profile of the region, and a description of how we assess transportation impacts to minority and low-income populations. And the minority populations are mapped in that figure. And then there's also a policy statement that the board adopted when we first put the plan out years ago. And that policy statement affirms our commitment to adhering to Title VI requirements. Next slide. So the limited English proficiency plan includes TRPA's process for providing language assistance to people who have language barriers. And while updating the four-factor analysis included in the plan, which a description of that is listed here, we found that nearly 8% of Tahoe Basin residents have language barriers. So the work that we've done and continue to do to improve language assistance and access to information is definitely really critical. And during the past few years, we've been trying to make sure that our promotional materials and public comment opportunities are available in both English and Spanish. And we now also have the ability to offer live translations on some of our public webinars due to advancements in technology. We've had the opportunity to test this feature out a few times, and it's worked really well. So we'll be looking at doing more things like that to just make our information more accessible to the public. And then through this plan, we also know where we need to target language assistance efforts in the Tahoe Basin, which you can see in the map. Next slide. So finally, I just want to touch on the updates that we made to the Title VI and Limited English Proficiency Plans. We incorporated updates from the 2019 Public Participation Plan and detailed our outreach efforts over the last 3 years. And then we also included a section highlighting the environmental justice analysis from the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan. You'll recall that in the 2020 RTP, we emphasized prioritizing transportation projects within community priority zones, such as the one shown here. And the work that we did ties back to this plan, these plans, and our commitment to serving vulnerable communities. Next slide. So that wraps up the overview of the Title VI and LEP plans, and I'm happy to answer any questions from committee members, and Michelle Glickert is also on the line to help answer questions.
Okay, Kira, thank you so much. Any questions by members of the committee regarding this item? Okay, I don't see any and I don't hear any, so we will go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, it looks like there are no public comments for this item.
Okay, all right, thank you. And we will close public comment. If there are no additional, well, there haven't been any questions or comments by the committee, so I will entertain a motion to recommend the governing board's adoption of the proposed resolution 21-, attachment as contained in attachment A, approving the TMPO Title VI program plan and limited English proficiency program. Is there a motion? Don't be bashful.
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? All right, hearing none, seeing none. Maureen, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Woloshin?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the next item, item number 5, discussion and possible recommendation on amendments to Chapter 65 of the Code of Ordinances and Section 10.8.5 of the Rules of Procedure for the Mobility Mitigation Fee Update. You'll find this item on page 277 of your packet. And Melanie, are you with us? Yes, there you are, your bright, shiny face. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Melanie Sloan, here to provide an update for the mobility mitigation fee. Next slide, please. Before going into the details of the recommendation within your packet, I just want to take a moment to talk about what brings me to you today. And that's the background for the fee update itself. In April of 2021, the governing board adopted a new transportation and sustainable communities threshold standard based on vehicle miles traveled, or VMT, and that standard was established for the entire region. At the same time, the governing board adopted the 2020 regional transportation plan and approved an updated project impact assessment process to implement that new threshold standard at the project level. And it does so by evaluating development's impact to transportation using vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. And so what remained was to update the mobility mitigation fee program. Next slide. So the project impact assessment process and the mitigation fee both are focused on implementing that new threshold standard at the project level. And the fee also advances implementation of the regional transportation plan by providing matching funds for jurisdictions. And those matching funds are used to leverage larger dollars, typically state and federal grants. And jurisdictions do so to implement projects from that regional transportation plan. And over the past 10 years or so, the fee revenue from has been about $50,000 to $100,000 per jurisdiction per year. And that sounds like a small amount when we think about implementing transportation projects. But as I said, it's a pretty mighty amount because those small dollars can leverage much bigger dollars. Next slide, please. And so when we received direction from the governing board to update the mobility mitigation fee, it was with the intention that it keep the purpose of its predecessor, the air quality mitigation fee. The air quality mitigation fee had been in place for over a decade. and had a lot to continue. And so the mobility mitigation fee update is following that direction from the board and retaining the purpose of the fee, which is to mitigate transportation impacts of a project and not to generate revenue. So some of the changes obviously are the name. I've mentioned it a few times. The mobility mitigation fee replaces the air quality mitigation fee, and the types of project eligible for funds also changes. So mobility mitigation is about funding projects that reduce vehicle miles traveled instead of the air quality benefits, the prior fee. Also, the basis for the fee is changing. And so this is both the rate that's in the packet as a recommendation that's now based on the 2020 Regional Transportation Plan project list, and then also how the fee is calculated for development. It is now based on the net increase in vehicle miles travel the project generates, no longer using average daily trips. Next slide, please. So let's talk about the fee rate recommendation in your packet. So the mobility mitigation fee is really reflecting the costs of mitigating increased VMT from added development. That's what it's focused on. And it's calculated by using a three-step process. And each of those steps is to ensure that the fee recommendation before you upholds that purpose to mitigate transportation impacts of a project and not generate revenue while linking to development's fair share. So the three steps are listed before you, and it's to calculate added development's share of VMT reducing project costs from regional transportation plan. And that's about 6.8% of future VMT is coming from development. And then that amount is divided by the proportion of VMT in 2045 from added development. And that, again, links development to the fair share contribution to reducing VMT. And then we make some refinements to integrate that updated project impact assessment process, as well as to recognize the historic approach to fee calculations. So for continuing the project impact assessment process into the fee recommendation, it recognizes things like the location of a project as an influence on the VMT it generates, as well as for most of our development, which is residential and tourist accommodation unit, it assumes the greatest potential impact of those projects, and that is that they're fully occupied. And then regarding the approach to fee calculations, we have and will continue to apportion fees based on whether the land use generates or attracts trips and its associated VMT. And so what results is a fee rate of $218 per VMT. Now, within the recommendation to governing board, but not part of the motion before this committee today, is also a recommendation to waive the fee for deed-restricted, affordable, moderate, and achievable housing when that is built within areas eligible for residential bonus units. And just for this committee's knowledge, that recommendation also includes that the waiver be assessed as part of that new threshold standard process, review process. And so that's monitored on a 2 and 4 year timeframe. And should that process identify needed changes to this waiver, recommendations will come forward from that. Next slide, please. And what I want to summarize here is the mobility mitigation fee and recommendation is really following the simplicity of the project impact assessment process and provides predictability through its online project impact assessment tool that can be used by developers, jurisdictional staff, and interested parties at any time to understand the potential impact of a project as well as anticipated fees. The mitigation fee recommendation also further aligns with the updated impact assessment process by further incentivizing development in low VMT areas. And those are often town and regional centers. And it does so by recognizing those areas have lower average daily VMT, and lower VMT results in lower mobility mitigation fees. And that is also to be considered because it further incentivizes development in town and regional centers where most of the redevelopment in our region occurs. And it does so because the fee is charged on that net increase in VMT. That means for redevelopment, It's really the change in VMT from previous use to proposed use. Further, as the project applies VMT reductions, such as mitigation strategies or jurisdictional VMT credit programs, VMT impact of the net increase of the project would also decrease, and that translates to lower fees as well. Next slide, please. Within the packet is an update to the mitigation fund release policy guidelines. These remain largely the same except for one change. That is for the mobility mitigation funds to be used for projects that reduce VMT. So are those air quality benefiting projects such as street sweepers or vac trucks, they're no longer eligible for use of mobility mitigation funds. However, if jurisdictions have a balance of air quality mitigation funds, and you saw that in a prior item today, those funds could be used for those air quality benefiting projects. Further, there may be other funds such as water quality mitigation that those projects may be eligible for. Next slide, please. And I want to talk a bit about engagement, because development of the recommendation before you took several months and a lot of conversations at multiple points in drafting and developing the final recommendation. And the engagement happened with those listed here, as well as going to the Regional Plan Implementation Committee, or RPIC, as well as the Advisory Planning Commission, or APC. And RPIC provided unanimous support for the fee and waiver for affordable housing. APC also approved both the fee and the waiver and expressed some concerns. Concerns revolved around redevelopment and development's fair share. And those two concerns are addressed within the fee update recommendation before you. And hopefully you heard me speak to these concerns at a few points in this presentation as well. But I wanted to share those with you. So you heard them as well. And then lastly, we heard about implementation concerns, especially from jurisdictions that have fee programs themselves, like Placer County. We have and continue to commit to working through those remaining concerns as we move through the implementation phase. Next slide, please. And with that, I conclude my presentation and turn it back to you, Madam Chair, for questions.
Okay, Melanie, thank you. And with respect to your pledge to continue to work with local jurisdictions, that's primarily in connection with jurisdictions that have a transportation fee that's also based on VMT, and the concern was that developers not be double charged, basically. And so that's one of the primary issues you're working through. Cindy, you in particular, obviously representing Placer County, did you have any particular comments or concerns, or are you satisfied that staff's reassurance that they will continue to coordinate with you and cooperate?
Absolutely, Shelley. Yesterday, we adopted our Tahoe mobility fee at the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I made my points there as well that these need to be integrated within the basin so that we're not duplicating those fees. So development outside of the basin will be paying the Placer County fee, and within the basin we will wrap that in and we won't double charge those developments. I continue to, and I'll just say this for the rest of the committee, that the efforts staff have made have been incredible on this. We want to see this reinvestment in our town centers, and at least at the Placer County level, we've taken a number of steps to reduce fees or credit fees by doing a regional T-bid, by investing TOT money in our micro mass transit system, our mobility hubs, and our bike trails. And so I just want to make sure as we move forward, the county can continue to do that, because all of these layering of fees, while they seem inconsequential, we're still not seeing the reinvestment in our commercial core areas. So staff has assured me that we can continue to, as long as we're enacting those VMT reducing projects in micro mass transit and those and trails and our technology, many of the things that are on our list. If we do that through a regional funding system, then we can help credit that toward those projects. So that's been my only concern. I completely agree with where we're headed in transportation, It's just how we fund it and making sure we have flexibility when we have a lack of reinvestment in our town centers on the North Shore in particular. So thank you, Shelley, and staff's done an outstanding job. I know our staff have met repeatedly with Melanie and the team, and you know, I'm assured that you've all heard me and heard our staff and have responded adequately so that we have great flexibility and that regional approach to addressing BMT.
Terrific. Great. Thank you, Cindy. And lastly, Melanie, I think we all received a couple of letters. One was received yesterday. Another was received this morning, one from Kevin Drake and the other from Andrew Ryan. Did you want to briefly address their concerns, or would you prefer to defer that until this matter comes before the governing board later this morning?
I'm happy to do both, Madam Chair. We did receive comments from, as you said, two members of the public from the North Shore community concerned, as was discussed at the APC meeting, for the impact of the fee on redevelopment and town centers, as well as development's proportional share. And we definitely hear those concerns and feel confident that the combination and the updates of the project impact assessment process, which focuses on the net increase in redevelopment. And when I say net increase, I mean net increase in BMT from redevelopment, as well as recognizing and providing a higher screening level within our town and regional centers, is an effort to encourage and incentivize that development that Cindy was just referencing as well. Additionally, the way that the mobility mitigation fee is apportioned to new development is based on the underlying land use type. And so when it comes to developing community in our town and regional centers, we do feel that the fee waiver for affordable and workforce housing helps us address that community impact. And then the other uses, the commercial, office, recreation, and other attractions, are apportioned only 10% of that fee. And so while we're recommending a fee rate of 218 per VMT, what it would mean for redevelopment on the ground really depends on its location, what it's replacing, and what type of land uses it are, is. So I believe that we have the combined elements in both the impact assessment and the fee to address the concerns expressed by both Mr. Drake and Mr. Ryan.
And with every threshold, this mobility threshold will undergo a review periodically, so we can you know, take stock of the impacts, we can determine whether or not the mobility fee is working, whether or not it's stifling development and redevelopment. So there is an opportunity to adjust our course if necessary in the future. Okay, Melanie, thank you so much. Any questions from members of the committee regarding this item? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, there's nothing in my chat box. We will go ahead and open public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, we'll give it just a moment here to see if anyone raises their hand.
Okay.
All right, we have one public comment here. Gavin Feiger.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Gavin.
Hey, good morning, Chair and committee members. I just wanted to, on behalf of the League to Save Lake Tahoe, we sent in a comment letter just this morning, and I apologize for that, but it is supportive. Basically the same thing that we said last month to our pick, that we really appreciate Melanie and staff's work, and we're happy with where this is at this point, and hope that it's adopted as proposed today and there aren't any last minute changes that might delay it. And I think that staff in Placer County and affordable housing developers have really all, along with us, have really all worked together and come up with a reasonable fee that we all agree on. So okay. Appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate it. Any other public comment, Maria?
It looks like we have no further public comment on this item.
Okay. Thank you. Then we will go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to the committee. If there are no questions from members of the committee or comments, I will entertain a motion to recommend to the governing board adoption of Resolution 21-2021, to amend the rules of procedure as set forth in Exhibit 4 to Attachment B regarding the implementation of the mobility fee.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion. Any comments on the question? All those in favor, say aye. Oh, I'm sorry. we'll do a roll call just for the record. Maria?
Mr. Woloshin?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Thank you. All right. And Melody, yes, thank you and the team for all your diligence. It's kind of a long and thorny process, but we're almost at the end. So thank you again for joining us this morning. All right. Move on to the next item. Item number 6, upcoming topics. Chris, what do we have in store for us next month?
Okay, two known items for the January board meeting. The first is the independent auditor's report, so our audit partner will be in. I haven't seen the final report yet. We're still working through the final issues there, but we should be on track to make it in January. I will say there are two minor findings that are more administrative matters, that both having to do with transportation and both missed deadlines. We also have a budget adjustment to the transportation OWP that we'll be bringing you. And I don't know yet, but there may be some mitigation fund releases as well. Past January, I think you all know that our HR director, Susan Stradding, has decided to retire. So we're in the middle of a recruitment now to replace her. And once a new person comes in, we'll introduce her to you. And then I do owe you briefings on building repairs and on our project to replace our planning software, both of which are in the planning process at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any questions by members of the committee regarding these upcoming topics? All right. Seeing none, hearing none, we'll move on to public comment. If a member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now and go to the webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, there are no public comments on this item.
Okay. Well, it's not a real hot topic. Okay. All right. This was obviously an informational item only. So we will move on to agenda item number 7, committee member comments. So Vince, has this been an inspiring meeting for you? a lot of these things are fairly routine, but important, to keep the organization operating efficiently. So anyway, any comments?
No. Yeah, thanks. A lot to learn. You guys have done a lot of work already, and so there'll be a lot for me to catch up on.
All right, sounds good. Mark, Alexis, any comments?
No, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Then we will move on to our last public comment period. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this, on anything discussed here this morning or any future agenda items, please raise your hand now and go to webinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff.
Madam Chair, there are no public comments for this item.
Okay, then we will close public comment. And before we adjourn, I want to note that the next committee meeting on this platform will be RPIC, and it will commence, I gather, Maria, as planned at 9:15?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's the plan.
Okay. All right. So with that, Merry Christmas to you. I'll see you again later, obviously, at the governing board meeting. But thank you for all of your good work here on the Operations and Governance Committee. And I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. So moved.
I know you're all choked up. All right. We have a motion to adjourn. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thanks, everyone.